CougarFan.com, Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 399. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, our next episode is 400.
So, do we do something exciting for this? Is it a special occasion?
I don't know. I think we've got to. It's in 2 weeks. We're not going to be on next week because I'm out of town. So, in 2 weeks, we'll do something. What do we do? Do we do like a look back at our favorite stuff from the last 8 years, 9 years we've been doing this? Favorite players,
I feel like that's a long moments. Time.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll find this. Let's, you know what we should do? We should brainstorm for the listeners. Maybe I'll get the whiteboard out and they can just hear that.
Brainstorm this in front of everybody.
Well, if people have any suggestions, they can send them to us. We'd love suggestions. People think they know what we should do for our 400th episode. 400 episodes, that's a lot. Isn't that a lot?
I feel like it's too many.
For just two dudes talking to each other about BYU sports?
Which is pretty much all this is.
All right, well, let's go to the tweet bag and not talk about BYU sports.
Tweet bag.
All right, so Jeremy Ashton has an email for us, and if you want to email the show, you can do it at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Here's what Jeremy had to say. What about going with Samuel L. Jackson for the actor that you can only watch his movies on the deserted island? You'd get most of the MCU, some Star Wars movies, including Episode 9, because his voice is in that movie. That'd be weird, though, if you only got, like, the prequels and Episode 9. Right.
What if aliens came to Earth and those were the only four movies that they found?
I don't know. They would think we had very bad. We were very bad at speaking to one another.
They would spend their whole time searching Earth for Jar Jar Binks.
They definitely would. They definitely would. So he said. Also, you get the Incredibles and the original Jurassic Park, which I watched with my daughter over the Christmas break. My oldest. And I had forgotten he was in it.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah. It's, you know, and you get What's-His-Face from Seinfeld and
Newman.
Yeah, oh my gosh. It's a good movie. That first one is really good. It's like a horror movie, like, masquerading as not a horror movie. You know what
right.
I mean? It's like, oh, that's it's
actually
about
a pretty good explanation. But, this is kind of a fun adventure movie. No, this is monsters eating people.
Yeah, monsters eating people, especially the whole scene in the kitchen with the kids.
Oh my gosh!
By the way,
I can't even go into kitchens because of that scene.
You haven't been in a kitchen in 30 years.
I don't even have a kitchen in my house.
That's right. That's right. You're afraid the raptors will come get you. All right.
Do you get video games that the actor was a voice in? Or just movies?
I don't know. We can make this up as we go. Do you want the video games?
I'm just saying that if you get video games, you get two different versions of Grand Theft Auto, I think, with Samuel L. Jackson. So there's that.
I don't want Grand Theft Auto. I hate that game's dumb.
Yeah, that game is dumb. It makes me motion sick. But I think that when I look at the list that he gave us, I mean, he left off a couple of very popular Samuel L. Jackson movies.
All right. Such as?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
I'm not saying I saw it, but I'm not saying I didn't.
That's right. Shaft.
Shaft, Kill Bill, Volume 2.
Yeah. He's in a bunch, man.
He's in so many movies. Amos and Andrew. Do you remember Amos and Andrew with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, yeah.
That movie's hilarious.
I forgot he was in that one. Another one. Did we talk about
Patriot Games? Actually, Samuel Jackson is a decent pick.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson's a decent pick. Two others that we didn't talk about that I've thought about since then. Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yep, that's a good one.
Did we talk about him? I don't remember talking about him.
No, we didn't, but that is a good one.
Okay, so lots of different movies there. You get multiple Thor movies, speaking of the MCU. You get a lot of dramas, some action, whatever else. And what about Morgan Freeman?
Oh, and if you get you also get anything he's voiced in, right?
Correct. Yeah. So you get Lego Movie. You get Shawshank.
You get that movie Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's
That's not a reason to pick him.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's one that's gonna you're gonna watch a lot of on the desert island.
Yeah, probably not.
So, all right. Next question comes from Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter, and you can tweet us at BYU_RiceShout. What is with the sacredness of baseball calls? Okay, now we have to preface this that Sweeney hates baseball. Okay, so.
Yeah, hates everything about it.
Let's keep this together. I'm not necessarily advocating cheating, which is good because you're an attorney. But in hoops, if you discern
the play... I'm not advocating that you cheat, but if you do...
Okay, but if you discern the play and know what's coming and jump the pass and get a steal, or in football, an interception, that's considered smart and good. Why all the secrecy with signals that are made in the open?
Well, football has the same problem, right? Like, they don't want you to film... This is the whole reason that everybody's mad at the Patriots.
Well, and they cover their mouth, right? They cover
their mouth. That's why everybody's covering their mouth now, is so that you can't read their lips.
But what did they do? They went to a system where you could speak direct to the quarterback so you wouldn't have to do signals anymore, right?
But we'll get to that in a second. There's a little bit of nuance here, right? I just want to clarify something for Justin. In hoops, if you discern the play and know what's coming and you jump the pass and get a steal or an interception in football, that is smart. That's different than being in the huddle. No, and hearing the call.
Very different. Or that is akin to having somebody listening in on the huddle of the other team as they map out their inbound pass. Right.
That's what we're really under. Now, if you come out and you say, hey, look, I recognize this formation and circumstance, and I believe that this guy's going to run this such and such a route, I'm going to jump the route. And you are correct because you've studied that much film and you know that offense, right? Or
you play for that batter, team. Right, and you just know their offense really well.
That's what Belichick does in this situation. Or like that famous pass that what's-his-face stepped up in front of in the Super Bowl when they should have handed the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, the play call was fine. Wilson just made the wrong read.
No, but they knew what the defense knew the play call.
Yeah.
And so, right? And so, and not because they were in the huddle, but just because they knew what to anticipate.
They recognized
it, yeah. But if I'm a batter... And I know in certain situations, given where my hole is in the strike zone and the pitches that this pitcher is good at or what he's been throwing tonight, I believe that on this count, I believe he's going to throw a curveball or he's going to throw a fastball or he's going to throw off speed because I'm reading the situation and I've studied up on this pitcher. That's not the same as stealing the call.
Okay. Well,
it's not the same thing.
We'll get to that in a second. Let's finish this question because – he says, like, maybe come up with a better way to signal the pitch rather than rail on a team smart enough to pick them up and transfer info to players on the field. I just don't get all the unwritten rules in baseball. Hashtag tweet bag. Hashtag baseball is weird bag. These aren't unwritten rules, actually. The rules the Astros broke are written. So they broke a rule about video surveillance and transmission of signs using video equipment. That is a rule on the books. So this isn't like steroids in the 90s, which weren't actually against the rules. Steroids were in the aughts.
Right.
This is akin more to the Patriots and Spygate and all that stuff. But here's the thing.
Well,
how many people still care about Spygate except for Jets fans?
No. Anybody? One cares.
Nobody cares.
It's not a thing.
In football, nobody cares. In baseball, how many people still get worked up about that Barry Bonds took steroids?
Everybody does.
All over the place, right? And I think this is the root of what he's talking about, is that baseball, for some reason, gets really fired up about super competitive people who've been incented to cheating, right? Because if you don't think professional athletes are incented to cheat, then you don't understand incentives, right? Because if they do better, they make more money. If they win, they get fame and potentially more money, right? So the incentives are set up there, and you've set all these, you know, and you've got these weird rules because every sport has them, right? And you've set it up. Like, is it okay to steal the signs if you're at second base and then signal to the batter? The answer is yes. That is legal, according to baseball. There is nothing to prevent the runner on second base from reading the signs the catcher's putting down and then transmitting that to the batter somehow with a sign of their own, right? That's not illegal. Now, is it cheating if it's not against the rules?
If it's not against the rules, it's not against the rules.
So the question really becomes like where these lines are. And I think the line is pretty clear that the Astros and potentially the Red Sox cross those lines, right?
Yeah. But you know what's interesting, and maybe you've already read this, but it's some teams started to take measures to protect themselves against this, including the Washington Nationals during the 2019 World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
They put in a whole another system.
Yep.
I mean, we can go through a little bit about what they did, but it was complicated, and they just assumed that the Astros were using a camera in center field to steal the signs and relay them into the dugout, out to the batter. They just assumed it was happening.
Yep.
And they developed a whole new system, which is actually really fascinating. It was written up in a Washington Post article.
It is fascinating. November. I read that article. It's amazing. Our brother Don said this last week in a text string, and then, you know, Sweeney's kind of hinting at it. All this goes away if you just put an earbud in the guy's ears, and then you don't have to have the catcher call the pitches. Have the dugout call the pitches. Then it doesn't matter which catcher's in. I mean, you can solve this really easy, just like you did with quarterbacks calling plays. Right? And you used to, when I was a kid, the wide receiver would run the play in, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I mean, you can change this. Baseball is really slow to change, though. You know, you look at a lot of the changes they made over the years, the fact that one league plays with a designated hitter and another doesn't. It's kind of crazy. All right. Enough of baseball. Let's talk.
I had a football game in high school. This is just, I'm going to go back to the glory days for just a second.
Nice. Glory days.
I watched a ton of film on an opponent.
Size glory days.
Sorry. You know, if I could throw the football over the mountains, soaking it up with my soulmate.
That's right.
So
that's
right. I watched.
Do you have any tater tots?
A ridiculous amount of film one week, my senior year. Okay. And we believed it was going to, up to that point, it was the toughest game we had in the season. This team had won the league the year before. They were very good. I watched all of their game. It was Hull.
Hull.
So wow. I watched all of their games I watched two seasons worth of games.
Hull was good when you were in high school?
They won the league my junior year, and we were their only loss my senior year.
See, have I told you what the I knew a guy in Hull and what his coach told them, their basketball team, before they played us one year?
What?
Told the basketball team, this was his motivational speech. They are going to be your bosses for the rest of your life. Kick their butts right now. Kick their butts tonight, because they're going to be your bosses the rest of your life. That was his motivational speech.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
it's great. And I need to correct myself. They also lost to Rockland, I believe, that year. Anyway, so I'd watched a ton of film. So when they came out in certain situations and in formations, their offense wasn't super complicated. I knew what they were doing. So I would just adjust the defense. And I got brazen about it, where I would just say flat out, they had this running back who was just a load. And I would just put a guy in the gap. I'd say, okay, they're running this hole right here. And I would grab the defensive lineman. I'd put him in the hole. And so I started doing that. And then they would audible out of there. They would audible. By halftime, I had also learned their audible system, because it wasn't rocket science either. And so they would audible, and then I could adjust to the audible. That all being said, we still barely won that game, just because they were just big, cheater. Strong, and fast.
You were cheating.
So, but that's not cheating. That's knowing your opponent, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't in the huddle. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't looking. I wasn't discerning the signs they were getting in from the sideline.
But that wouldn't be cheating either, would it?
I mean, it's right out there. Is it?
No.
What's the difference between that and taking the signs off if you got a runner on second base and signaling that into the batter?
It's the same. And it's not cheating. Right? If you're going to signal out and open and somebody figures it out, that's not cheating, right? I mean, it's not cheating. I don't think it's cheating. All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
All right.
So our first BYU question, all right, is from Jens Linton. That's at Jens Linton on Twitter. He says, Pro Football Focus says BYU has the 10th and 20th, that's Empey and Christensen, respectively, best returning offensive linemen in college football. Is our offensive line even in our top three position groups going into the 2020 season? So, Matt, is the offensive line one of our top three position groups?
I'm kind of fascinated by this because there's a couple of places where you can read very high praise for our offensive line.
I thought they did a good job this year.
And they were the walking wounded. I mean, we had a freshman who had never played offensive line before who was starting at right tackle by the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that speaks to what Mateus is doing in Provo. I mean, he's doing a really good job. And the offensive line is a unit. They've adapted to injury. They've adapted to all sorts of situations.
Okay, so let's play a quick little game.
Is it in the top three position group? I don't know. I'd have to think that through.
Let's play a quick little game. Above or below, okay? Is the offensive line, would you rank them above or below the following position groups?
This All right, let's do this.
Defensive backs going into next year.
Above.
I'm going to say above. Linebackers.
I feel good about the linebackers. That one's tough for me. Below.
I'm going to go above. Defensive line.
Above. I just think they're deeper.
I'm going to go below. I'm going to go below. Maybe I'm overrating it because of Tonga.
Maybe I'm being too sensitive to that. I don't know, because Tonga is very good.
Wide receivers and tight ends. I'll put the tight ends with the wide receivers.
Ooh, you put the tight ends with the wide receivers? Above.
Come on. It's Bushman, you're
right. It's Bushman against the field, right?
And so, Romney and a bunch of other guys. I think you got to go above. Running backs above, right? Above. And quarterbacks.
Below.
So both of us had us as a top three position group.
There you go. They're a top three position group.
I think they're a top three position group. So I guess that answers that. Looking at BYU's 2020 football schedule, this is Jen's, the second part of his question. What P5 away game is the most attractive to attend and actually win?
Oh, see, that's a two-part question. I was told there would be no math.
Yeah, that's just... Okay, so the games you have are at Utah, at Arizona State, at Minnesota, and that's your only P5. Oh, and at Stanford.
Well, at Stanford.
See, I don't want to go to Stanford.
I don't, but...
But I think we'll win that game.
We may win that game.
It'd be kind of fun to see the tree go
This
down.
Isn't Christian McCaffrey's Stanford, all right, guys?
It definitely is not. And by the way, he says the answer is not Utah.
No, I'm leaning Arizona State, maybe.
What about Tempe, Minnesota? Yeah. Minnesota's going to be overrated next year.
They're not going to beat Minnesota.
Probably not.
Nope. I watched a video you can find online of PJ Fleck speaking at a coach's convention. It's about an hour long. It's a great video. I'm on board. I'm ready to row the boat.
He is. Yeah, again, this goes to what I've been saying for years. And I feel like there's a big portion of our listeners that just don't believe me. Coaches make all the difference in college sports. End of story. They make all the difference. You have a great coach, you have a great team. You have a mediocre coach, you have a mediocre team. I you know, and yes, it's not quite that simple because they've got to have a staff. But look what Dabo Swinney's done to Clemson. Yeah, they're in the ACC. They got all these advantages or whatever compared to, say, BYU, of course. But do they have any advantages compared to Virginia Tech? Do they have advantages compared to Florida State? No, I would say less, right? They don't have the history or the recruiting hotbed, though South Carolina's fine. Look at USC since Pete Carroll left. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just look at this and I'm like, you know, Fleck comes in here and it's the same players. It's not like Minnesota all of a sudden is like getting top 10 recruiting classes. Anyway, That's my little soapbox.
And this team that he was succeeding with last year is very young.
Yeah, yeah. But they will be overrated next year. People are going to...
I believe that, but that's a top 25 football program next year, yeah. I believe. I believe they are. I don't know if they're top 10, but they're a top 25 program. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Playing them on the road in September, that's going to be a tall order.
At least it won't be cold yet. Just be glad we're not playing them in November. Is it
already snowing by then?
Can be. But it's not that cold. Cold is defined by negative temperatures, buddy. And I mean the highs.
I was going to say, if it's cold enough for the precipitation to freeze, that's cold.
No.
Like this morning, I had ice on my windshield. It was cold. That's cold.
Yeah, not in Minnesota, buddy. That's a nice spring day where you got ice on your windshield. Right.
That's nature telling you that it's too cold.
No.
So for me, I'm in Arizona State.
All right. Arizona State. Okay.
I'm with you. I don't know that I want to see. I don't know that I want to travel to Stanford, but I kind of do.
Yeah, I kind of do. I've never been on the campus. I'm sure it's beautiful.
I'm sure it's beautiful.
And filled with hippies. Yeah.
Hippies.
Just hippies everywhere. They just like sprout out of the ground. Covered in organic dust.
I don't even know what you're talking about. All right, next question.
Crunching in a regular shaped carrot. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't like Stanford.
All right, that got weird. Next question. On Facebook. There we go. Come on, you can take it from there.
All right, Daniel Smith says... And Facebook, if you want to join the conversation, facebook.com/riseandshout. Unless you're a hippie, don't join the conversation.
Hippies don't use Facebook. They hate Mark. What's his face?
Zuckerberg? No, they use hippies use Facebook and iPhones.
Which is insane. Yeah, all right.
It's funny. All right. Does the lack of news surrounding BYU football right now concern you? No coordinators have been fired or replaced, at least not publicly. Hashtag facebag, hashtag climb on in. They're not replacing the coordinators.
Nobody's getting fired, guys.
Yeah, I think they're going.
The time has passed.
They're going in. Now, the good news is things are not static, and my hope is that both coordinators are looking at some of the things that went wrong this year and adjusting. I hope they don't think like, well, that was a fantastic year. We just got to do more of what we did. Right. But no, does it worry me? I think we're likely to be about as good as we were last year.
And frankly, at this time of year, really, no news is good news.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
You're past the window where anybody's getting fired. So the only things that can happen inside of this window is your coach gets poached.
Or and then you gotta replace him. Fired, but not for a football reason.
Exactly. You've got other weird off the field stuff happens with either a staff member or a player. So this time of year, I don't think you want to hear a peep. You want them to be, like you said, you want them to be buckled down in their office, figuring out what they're going to do different next year, how they're going to move this thing forward. That's the stuff you want them to be dealing with right now, not weird off the field stuff.
No, I'm with you. But that being said, we're both on record that we wouldn't have been surprised nor disappointed with a change in either coordinator. And I thought there'd be something major on the staff, but unless they're just waiting for some weird reason to announce it.
But at this point, I don't know, what would you be waiting for at this point?
Well, and they would be going out for another job, right?
Right. You'd have to, because if it were me, if I were in a position and I knew that I was going to be dismissed, I'd be out because I got to go find another job. I don't want to wait until February to be doing that because there's no jobs left.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, unless you got like a Nye who might be on his way to Hawaii and those types of things. But, there's nothing like that circling.
Yeah. There's still some dominoes that could fall, but yeah. They'd be looking. Next question comes from Sean Ritchie. That's at Dr. Ted 64 on Twitter. He says, speaking about football, we are speaking about football.
That's
who
exactly
is a player that you used to think was trash, but you have changed your opinion over the years? Mine is Kevin Federick, hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in. So, Matt, who's a player you thought was trash, Riley Nelson, and that you've come around on?
I only have one answer to this, and it's Riley Nelson because it's so blatant. My opinion on Riley Nelson back in the day was so overstated and so wrong. I don't even have a close second that I could use as an answer to this question. I was way off on Riley Nelson. In retrospect, Riley Nelson was a pretty good quarterback, and he was a good quarterback at the time, and like kind of the ultimate team player. There's no surprise based on what we know now that so many in the locker room were behind him. Now, I do still feel bad about the fact that, I mean, he had some bad injuries and is probably going to be dealing with that for a long, long time, right? But he really, I mean, that's a guy that really gave it all because he believed in the program and wanted his team to be successful. I've absolutely come around on Riley Nelson. And maybe it was I was just jealous of his hair. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably. You do have some hair envy. Mine's going to be very, very recent. Remember who I used to bag on all the time? One of the wide receivers?
I'm not sure who you're talking about. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that now.
I used to bag on Simon all the time. I mean, not harshly or anything, but he turned out to be a pretty good player. And he was probably better than I thought at the time, too. I mean, he improved, I think, throughout his career. But I think I was wrong about where his ceiling was. Actually, let me rephrase. I was wrong about where his ceiling was.
Yeah, you were wrong. You were wrong.
I was incorrect. So, yeah, that's probably a good one. Federic, to me, is the poster child for this type of conversation, though, because at the time, I was covering the team as a sports writer, right? So I was talking to coaches and had more inside access than I've ever had, right? And
right.
The coaches were just blown away. They could not understand why the fans hated Federic. They just couldn't get it. Robbie Bosco, I think, was the quarterback's coach at the time, if I'm remembering right. And I interviewed him about it, and he recounted that he got booed at Cougar Stadium. It was called Cougar Stadium. Then in a game they lost or were losing in 85 after the national championship. So basically, Bosco didn't say it this way, so I'm paraphrasing, but he was basically saying, like, the fans, if the fans are going to boo me after winning a national championship, they can boo anyone. But the coaching staff just didn't understand because Federic's stats were pretty good, but also they saw him as a max effort guy, right? And the fans were bad at telling whether someone's a max effort person, player, right?
Well, and the fans are also, like, generally, as a body, poor at evaluating quarterbacks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every interception is his fault. Every incompletion is his fault. And all
of
these things.
If they have a bad game, replace him, right? One bad game means the backup should play.
Give him the hook. Give him the hook.
We
got to move on. We got to give the next guy experience for next year.
Yeah.
Because the first series, the first game didn't go real hot.
Yeah, yeah. So we got to make sure.
This season's a loss. We just got to get ready for next year now.
So, but I'm with you, Sean, Richie. I think a lot of fans on it. Now, Federic was not an all-time great. Okay? So let's not. But he was like Riley Nelson, I think. I think he was a good quarterback who was a little bit maligned for certain reasons. But he was not a quarterback at the time. He was the best quarterback on the team. And should have been starting. And he did. So Sean has another part two of his question for us, or another question. Watching the playoffs and Dirty Dan Sorensen, which, by the way, he is super popular here. I have a friend at work who has just commissioned a Sorensen jersey because Chiefs fans are everywhere here. They weren't selling them online, so he had one specially made with Sorensen. They love him here, by the way.
Wow.
Makes me wonder who your favorite non-star football player of has been this last year and then all time. He said this year it was Antonisa Mahe, and all time for him it's Brad Martin. So who's your all-time great, but they weren't a star? Your favorite, I should say, but they weren't a star.
Oh, man, I've thought through this and I've tried to go back and look at old rosters and I don't have a good example for this.
What about Mitch Matthews? He wasn't a star. Was he a star because he had those big plays, but I loved Mitch Matthews. What about Nick Kurtz? No, that's my favorite. Never mind. Nick Kurtz, done, over. That's probably not true all time, but I did love.
Brad, I could get.
Remember when you posterized those guys on blocks as a wide receiver, even like linebackers? Kurtz, I loved that.
Yeah.
It was great. This last year, who would it be? Is it Wilgar?
But is it Wilgar, right? Like, see, so Wilgar starts. That's where I went first for last year. But
he may be a star.
But he's kind of by the end of the year, he kind of was a star.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't coming into the year. I mean, it wasn't
absolutely
like,
not. I mean, he didn't even have a scholarship.
It wasn't like Tonga, right?
Right.
Wasn't like Tonga. I don't know. Think on this one more.
I like the Brad Martin example.
Yeah, it's a good one.
You know, and I think we've had some running backs. If you go back and look, I think we've had some running backs that were on decent teams, that didn't get a lot of credit because the passing game got so hot. You know, so there's some of those. I think you could look at. And for me, like I look at like offensive linemen as well, right? That I've always felt like were really good, but none of those guys were really stars. We put offensive linemen, guys that went on and played in the league for years. I'm drawing a blank. The guy from he's on the 96 team, but he went and he played for the Bears forever.
What about Brady Hoke?
Yeah.
He was undrafted. Yeah. He was a good player. And I mean, like Sorensen, he was kind of like Sorensen. And I think those – there's some parallels there. Hoke had this fairly long NFL career, and I remember liking him a lot at BYU, but he wasn't like a star. And then he was in the NFL forever. Like if you had told me Sorensen would be in the NFL still, he was a good player in college. It wasn't like he was not a good player, but I wouldn't have thought, oh yeah, that's the guy from that team will still be in the NFL.
So the guy I was thinking of was John Tate.
Yeah, John Tate. I've got a great John Tate story. You know my John Tate story, right?
Oh, let's hear your John Tate story.
So I'm in Denny's at
classic
2 in the morning or something, right? In Provo. And I'm hanging out with a few people, and John Tate is sitting there. He is now in the NFL, okay? And, of course, me and this other guy that were with me that are huge BYU fans, we know this. And the people we're with are like, that's not John Tate. They didn't really even know who he was. And we're like, no, he's an NFL player now, right? So he's sitting there at this table, and he's eating by himself, right? Which, by the way, he ate a lot. I know that'll come as a shock to everyone.
Shocker.
So he eats, and there's only, I want to say, at least in our section or maybe in the whole restaurant, there was only one woman waiting tables, okay, one server. So anyway, he gets up and leaves because he had been there before us, and the waitress comes to get the tip off his table, and she starts bawling, crying. And the guy I was with had the guts to ask her, like, what was going on, and she came over to our table. She said, I'm sorry, I don't get emotional like this, but he just left me I don't remember the number, but it was like $500 tip.
That's awesome.
And it gets better. She knew him. Like, I don't know if they had dated or were friends or whatever, but they had known each other when he was a student. I don't remember the backstory, if it was like whatever, but $500 tip. And for somebody that's working at Denny's at 2 a.m, it's a massive amount of money, right?
Yeah, that's cool. That's huge.
It's good John Tate story. Anyway. So,
what about like, and I'm, I love the 96 team, Dustin Johnson.
Oh, love Dustin Johnson. He was great.
That guy was great.
Yeah, he was great. That's a good one. That's a good one. You can't say Shea Merrick for this one. Okay. He was a star.
No. And I wanted to say like Mark Atuwaia, but
nah,
I don't think that one counts.
You know,
he was the legit running back before Jenkins and McKenzie.
There was a hard-nosed fullback I used to like but you may not remember him, Kalani Sitake.
Oh,
that's actually true. That actually is true. But anyway, all
right. Do you remember Micah Alba?
No, I don't remember Micah Alba.
Little cornerback around the 99-2000-ish type of time frame. Little guy. But he was like a max effort kind of guy and super fast.
Well, speaking of the Super Bowl.
But it's tough. Yeah, anyway, go ahead. Let's move on.
Sorry. I did not.
No, I was just.
You're reminiscing now. Speaking of the Super Bowl, our brother Don asks us via Facebook, who are you cheering for in the Super Bowl, Matt? So you've got Fred Warner and the Niners. You've got Daniel Sorensen and Kansas City. Who you got? Who you cheering for? Not who you think's going to win.
So when I was growing up, me and so many other LDS young men loved the 49ers for Steve Young. So they were kind of my second team. And then once Steve Young was gone, I completely lost interest in the San Francisco 49ers. But I've got another BYU connection to cheer for there. And I know that I got a BYU connection in Kansas City as well, but I'm going to go with the 49ers. That's what I'm cheering for.
I'm going with Andy Reid and the Chiefs. I can't believe you're not picking Andy Reid, but I guess you hate BYU.
If Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl, does that make it any more likely that he comes to Provo and coaches the Cougars? Yeah,
he'll come the next year.
Then I am all in on the Chiefs.
No, I am a big Andy Reid fan. I think we as fans and the analysts and everybody overrate Super Bowl wins as far as a mark of greatness, right? Like today, if you had to take a quarterback in an all-time quarterback draft, are you taking Dan Marino or Eli Manning?
Well, yeah, there's no question there, right? You're taking Dan Marino, man.
There would be a sizable chunk of idiots who would pick Eli Manning because he won two Super Bowls.
Which is dumb.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is like some people are like, well, Andy Reid's not an all-time great coach. He hasn't won. He hasn't won any Super Bowls.
Stupid.
I mean, it's the same thing. Remember Elway, right? And you know, Brady, as much as I love Brady, is probably a little overrated, right? Because of all the Super Bowls. You know, is he really a better quarterback than Peyton Manning? We both saw him play in their prime. I don't think so. But he's got more Super Bowl titles. And maybe his overall value is better because he played longer. But, you know, you can argue those type of things. But Andy Reid, if he wins the Super Bowl, it negates all that garbage, right? That Carl Malone, John Stockton garbage, right? And so I would love to see that. And I happen to live in Kansas, and everybody's Chiefs fans here. So... And they're big-time Chiefs fans. It's everywhere. And by the way, Mahomes is awesome. I love watching Mahomes.
Mahomes is amazing.
State Farm commercials, but...
Future Hall of Famer, Patrick Mahomes.
Future Hall of Famer. No joke, huh?
I'll tell you, who else is going to be in the Hall of Fame is Andy Reid.
Oh, heck yeah. Even without winning the Super Bowl, he's in the Hall of Fame. You know? Hey, speaking of Hall of Fame, Derek Jeter made the Hall of Fame today.
There you go.
And so did Larry Walker. And I saw some interview. He was wearing a SpongeBob shirt.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think so.
I did not see that. That's.
But Larry Walker's great. He should have been in before. That's an
interesting choice.
And of course, Jeter, as much as I hate him and the Yankees, of course, the fact that he's not unanimous is stupid. Some sports writer needs to lose their vote.
It was one guy who wanted to be the one dissenting vote.
Oh, whatever. I mean, Jeter is both overrated and deserving to be a first-time unanimous Hall of Famer, if that even makes sense. But I think both of those things are true. By the way, did you see that fight between, speaking of Kansas and Kansas State?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Go look at it. It just happened tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I know. They were starting that game when I was leaving work. Yeah, it was on the radio.
It was at the end. A chair was involved.
And oh my gosh.
I can't tell from the footage if it's fans, because I believe it was at Kansas, not in Manhattan. And I think there were fans or staff involved. Like, it was crazy. And Bill Self has already come out and issued an apology. But one guy has, I don't, I didn't see the footage if he actually connected with the chair, but he has a chair over his head, like WWE style. So just reminds me of that time all the BYU fans threw all the stuff out on the St. Mary's game. Do you remember that?
Oh, my gosh.
Rose had to come on the horn and tell them to stop being idiots.
Cut it out.
All right. So the big why this week is why this week is a big week for BYU basketball. So coming up this week is Pacific and San Francisco. And obviously neither of them are great teams. But this year so far, BYU is 1-4 on the road. Like 10-1 at home, right? 9-1.
Yeah, that's.
So you look at that, and you look at, let's see, next season, here we go. You look at Pacific and San Francisco are both, both, it's, San Francisco's maybe like a top 80 team. Pacific is maybe top 120, 125. So neither of them are great. But San Francisco in particular has me worried if Yoeli doesn't make it back. I think this is a game we could lose. San Francisco's good enough. You're on the road. It's the second of the two games. If Yoeli's not around, I think we split these games. I hate to say that, but I just think you do. What do you think, Matt? I think if Yoeli's around, we win both.
I think if Yoeli's around, we win both of these games. Maybe the San Francisco game is closer, but I feel like they could probably dispatch San Francisco without Yoeli, but I will see. I mean, if you look at, say, the first half of the Gonzaga game, there was enough in there to make me think they could go the distance against San Francisco.
Yeah, and that's true. I thought they played great in the first half, and they ran out of gas in the second half. And you have to think, all those missed threes, and they still hung in there for a long time. But you look at our resume right now, and that's a question we have, and we'll get to that right now. So Steve Vraska, that's at Steve Vraska on Twitter, says, if not for terrible Childs NCAA suspension and injury, B-ball may only have two losses. Will NCAA fairly judge their resume and get into tourney if they win most of their remaining games? The answer to that is yes. They are currently, every bracketologist has them in today.
They're on a trajectory to get into the tournament,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, that can, the wheels could come off, right? You lose to Pacific and San Francisco this week, even without Childs, and I think you're now on the other side of the bubble. Not that you can't get back in because you were close enough, but that now all of a sudden you've got an uphill road. But if they win all the games they're supposed to win the rest of the year, and I think that includes a St. Mary's win in 2 weeks, week and a half, I think they're in. They don't have to beat Gonzaga to get it. Though if they beat Gonzaga, yeah, they're definitely, that will help.
Sharpie if they beat Gonzaga, yeah, yeah. But
yeah.
But they don't have to do that to make that happen. But what they can't do, I mean, say you lose to the, you say you lose the San Francisco game without Yoeli. Yeah, I don't know. I think it becomes a tougher sell, but I do believe they take that type of stuff into account.
Yes.
I mean, they'll look at it and say a healthy Yoeli. I mean, I think we all kind of understand that.
And every announcer that's called a BYU game this year has basically mocked the NCAA's decision. So I got to assume that whoever's on the committee is going to give us a little bit of benefit of the doubt. I don't know that counts for a lot, but it could count for a little. Especially if we're on the bubble or on the seating piece, right? So, Randy Whittle says, what movies are you guys looking forward to most this year? Randy, we'll get back to that with our this week's game. Does the blowout loss to Gonzaga dampen your enthusiasm for an NCAA tournament berth? No.
Not at all.
They're one of the best 5-6 teams in the country. And you look at our resume right now. Close loss to San Diego State, who's a top 10 team, which we didn't know at the time, but they are now, right? Beat Houston, a top 25 team. Beat UCLA. The Kansas game, I know people were like, oh, this was our chance to show. We didn't get humiliated by Kansas. I mean, we didn't win. We didn't stay that close. But it could have been a lot worse. some other quote unquote P5 wins. The big one that hurts us is that Utah loss because they're not that great, right? But then, you know, impressive win against Nevada, Utah State, some other decent teams. And then that St. Mary's loss in overtime on the road, if we come around and turn around and beat them at home, it's a big deal. And that's why I think Childs probably isn't likely to play this week, is I think if there's any doubt, they're going to rest him so that he can be around for St. Mary's. Because that's when you want him, right?
Right. That's the game you got to circle on your calendar for him.
Yeah, and that's Saturday, February 1st. So how big is this week? I mean, if they can win both these games and it doesn't really change their prospects, and they can lose both these games, though, it would change their prospects. How big is this? Or is this just the same as every other week until we hit the WCC tournament?
I think this is the same as every other week until we hit the WCC tournament. It's like you're not going to get a lot of credit for beating these two teams, but it'll hurt you to lose one or both of these games.
So here's the deal. This week, it's Pacific and San Francisco on the road. Okay. The next week, it's Pepperdine and St. Mary's at home. So that's a big week, right? The week following that, it's at Portland and San Francisco at home. Well, that's kind of a big week too, right? Because you're going to have San Francisco, the quote-unquote fourth-best team. The week that probably is the least interesting is that next week at Loyola, at San Diego. And then, of course, you got the Gonzaga game towards the end. So you're probably right for once. It probably isn't that much more important than any other week. But it's still every game's important at this point, right? Because when you're ranked RPIs in the top 40s, if you fall out of that, top 40, I should say, in the 30s, you fall out of that and you suddenly need help to potentially get in the tournament, right? And losing games like this week would bump you out of there.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the guy. Misses the time at the beginning for stupid reasons and now, you know, having to deal with the injuries. I mean, some people are going to use his story as a caution tale to not come into the to go pro. And I would say they're missing the point.
All right, the whole thing's just stupid.
So we got asked, it is so stupid. We got asked by Randy, what movies are we most looking forward to? So we're going to do a little draft here, buddy. Are you ready?
All right, let's do this.
You get to pick first. What movie in January are you most excited about? I'll pick second.
Okay, so we're doing this by month.
Yes, and then I get February, you get March, I get April, you get May.
All right, so in January, I'm going to take... Actually, you know what? I'm going to take The Last Full Measure.
Ooh, all right. I'm going to take Bad Boys for Life.
But I guess Last Full Measure, did it come out in January? Was it already out in December? I'm taking it. I'm taking it either way.
No, it's officially coming out. It
comes out like... This January. Weekend, I think.
Yeah. All right. February. I get to pick first. I'm going to pick... Oh, man. February is always a tough month. Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn? Maybe?
All right. I'm okay with that.
What are you taking, Fantasy Island?
No, I'm taking The Call of the Wild.
Well, there's a new Call of the Wild?
Yeah, with Harrison Ford.
Oh, all right. That's probably a good choice. March, you get the first one. Good.
All right, March. In March, I'm going to take Mulan.
Ooh, nice choice. I'm trying to decide between Onward and A Quiet Place Part 2, and I'm going to go with The Quiet Place Part 2. The first one was
Onward
so good.
Does look good.
Onward does good. Look Pixar, funny. Pixar, they almost never miss, so can't go wrong. April... I get to pick first. I know what my kids would pick. They would pick Trolls World Tour. But I'm not going to pick Trolls World Tour. I'm going to pick No Time to Die, James Bond. Not a lot else to pick from there, buddy.
I have no choice but to take Peter Rabbit too.
That's not good. It's not good.
All that's right. Not good. That's the situation we're in April, everybody.
You get May, and I clearly did not line up the picks right because you're going to take the one I want to take.
Black Widow. I think I'm going to get all of the good female superhero movies, but we'll keep because there's several this year. So I'm taking Black Widow.
I'm going to take. Oh man, May is like a dumpster fire. I'm going to take Fast and Furious 9.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I like the.
They're
franchise.
Still making these?
Yeah, they're good. Well, I get the first choice in June, sucker. So you're not getting Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, that's right. It's June. I was thinking it was July.
You
all
can
right.
take Top Gun Maverick if you want.
Well, obviously that's what I'm taking.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the two good movies coming out in June. July, you get to pick first.
I go first in July. July is surprisingly weak.
No, it's not. There's like three good movies in there, sucker.
Oh, no, there's not. Yes, you there serious?
Is. Yes, there is.
I am not interested in any of these movies. Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Oh, my gosh. No, that's not even one of them. You've got Free Guy, you got Ghostbusters Afterlife, and you've got...
I don't know what Free Guy is.
Free Guy's the one with Deadpool. Why can't I think of his name? Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds?
He's the extra character, non-playable character in a video game who realizes he lives in a video game.
I have not seen anything about this.
Oh, the trailer.
Sounds hilarious.
It looks like it could be it could be a disaster too, but it could be funny. There's no more Minions movies. They just need to be done. No more. No more.
But what am I? Okay, so I knew nothing about that movie.
Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's the reboot, but with the original cast. Not reboot, sequel.
Okay.
It's got the kid from Stranger Things.
You're trying to capture lightning in a bottle there. I mean, that movie was funny. It was ad-libbed. I mean, I don't know.
Morbius, the living vampire? No, probably not that one. All right, I get to pick in August because you made a bad pick. Wow, there are not a lot of good movies this year.
August is a no-brainer.
Bill and Ted Face the Music, right?
Yeah. Bill and Ted coming back? With everything I just said about Ghostbusters, I should not be this excited about another Bill and Ted movie.
Have you seen the Ghostbusters trailer?
No.
It's in a house. Like, it's in, like, a haunted house. And it's a group of kids. It'll be good. I've got faith in that one. All right. There is nothing else in August. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick in August.
The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
It sounds like it's like a bad story that we're like, oh, my cousin's roommate's That's college right. professor's niece.
All right, you get September. What are you picking in September? It's easy.
It is easy?
Oh, yeah. Read the titles, man. Without Remorse? It's got Michael B. Jordan. Playing.
Yeah, there it is. It's a Tom Clancy movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably it. Or The Kingsman.
The Kingsman could be the other one in there. October, I get to pick first. Wow. Maybe.
I know what I'm doing. I know what I want in October.
Maybe Death on the Nile?
Oh, sweet. Because I want Venom too.
Yeah,
I like that first Venom
I like
movie.
The first one. I just feel like, I don't know. And Snake Eyes, is G.I. Joe Snake Eyes, is there any chance that's not terrible?
It's going to be awful.
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
They don't have a prayer.
All right, you get to pick first in November. Once again, you get the superhero movies if you want them.
You know what I want in November? I want Godzilla vs. Kong.
All right. I am going to take The Eternals, though I have no idea if this is going to be like Marvel's biggest whiff. Angelina Jolie. And I get to pick in December. And I'm taking Dune, even though I know you won't take it.
I won't take it. And do you know what I am going to take? West Side Story.
No, I'm actually excited about West Side Story.
Wait, a remake of West Side Story? I think that would be real great.
Totally, totally cool. But this Dune remake looks like it could be really good. There's some buzz. I love the novel. I actually like the Terrible Ladies movie with Sting. So, all right. So those are movies we're excited. I have to say, this is not a year I'm like going through this list did not make me think, wow, this is my year to go to the movies. And maybe I'm just missing some that I don't know enough about yet. But I'm
there were a couple in there that I knew very little about that you had heard some about that sounded like that may be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Weird potentially year for movies. I mean, no big, huge Marvel movie. Oh, that's not true. Black Widow will be huge, right?
Black Widow is going to be great. Listen, there are some good, solo superhero movies in 2020. Like, we just went through 12 months and not all of them are going to be winners, right? I mean, because people are targeting certain times of year. So let's not get too down on 2020. I think Mulan, Black Widow, and Wonder Woman 1984 all have real serious promise.
That's true. That's true.
You know, I think those will be really good. You know, Ghostbusters and Bill and Ted both have the potential to be really funny. I'm excited about Top Gun Maverick. I'm not ready to throw 2020 out the window, and I'm not even a huge movie guy like you.
Yeah, I'm ready to throw it out the window. It's done. 2020's dead to me already.
Wow. We should just put in the second string quarterback and get ready.
I want lots of movies to distract me from the fact that we're in a election year.
Oh, that might be the problem.
Because I'll tell you right now, I'll have to get off social media sometime in June. Probably. Maybe May.
Oh, I'm already done.
So, you know, anyway. All right. Well, we'll be off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll, of course, have chances to react to the St. Mary's game at that point, as well as maybe there'll be some football news by then. What?
But hopefully, guys. Hopefully not.
Hopefully there's not, because
you want it to be quiet right now.
Controversial.
I believe it can only be negative right now.
Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl. Okay. Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl and then is announced. He retires from pro football and is announced as the head coach of BYU. That's what we'll be talking about. Well, we'll come back and we'll talk about the Super Bowl and the ads.
Yeah.
In our next one. So lots of good stuff to talk about in a couple weeks.
Jason Momoa is in this Dune remake. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it looks like it could be good, man. That might actually be the movie not on the sequel train that I'm most excited about.
It could be good.
And Onward didn't actually make our list, and it might be one of the best movies that the movies I enjoyed the most this year. Because it's Pixar. They hardly ever miss.
It'll be great.
They hardly ever miss. And have you seen the trailer? Yeah, we were sitting on.
Yeah, you'll laugh, you'll cry. Yeah, it's going to be one of those deals.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll think that Tom Holland should be doing cartoon voices the rest of his life.
I'll tell you, it's weird. It's listening to Tom Holland speak in his regular accent.
Oh, my gosh. You know
what? Weird you out.
You know what is really cool is that there's rumors that Christian Bale will be a bad guy in the next Thor movie, Love and Thunder. And could we please, can he finally talk in his actual, like, Welsh accent?
Because it's the best. It's the best. Have you seen him in interviews?
It's awesome. Oh, it's so awesome. And it's like, but he never talks like that in movies. He either does, like, a proper British accent or he speaks American. And he's done a couple others. But I'm just like, can we please get, like, his real accent? I want to see it. I want to hear it, man. I want to hear it. And Tom Holland, let's do it with Tom Holland, too. Let's get like Spider-Man has a British like identical twin cousin. Okay, maybe that's too much.
That got weird. Don't do that thing he just said.
As weird as hippies popping out of the ground with misshapen carrots.
Yeah, that was weird too. But listen, we'll just be lucky if we can get another Spider-Man movie at this point. These big companies got to sort this stuff out.
They figured it out. They figured it out. They're doing another one. Plus, Disney will buy Sony before the next one comes out anyway. So that was for you, Andre. That was for you.
We're all gonna be working for Disney at the end of the day here. They're just going to own everything.
That's right. You're going to be working for Apple, Amazon, or Disney.
The Rise and Shout podcast brought to you by Disney.
Brought to you by Disney. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
I think we'd be making more money if we were brought by Disney.
Most likely.